Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, I don't know where you're listening in from. You might be up in the far north. You could be on the east coast. I'm on the west coast where we have weather where we swear we're going to need kayaks before the end of the day. Of course, that's typical for the Pacific Northwest. Today we are going to be talking about a subject that I think is a very important one. And it's one that affects the lives of so many millions of people in so many different ways. My guest today is Muriel Crawford. We're going to be talking about her book, Smoking, 201 Reasons to Quit. Muriel, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Muriel, this topic, as far as I'm concerned, is an extremely important one. It is for very personal reasons. I'm not a smoker myself. My father was, and he ended up with lung cancer, and it was a very slow, agonizing passing that he ended up going through. You yourself are a prize-winning educator, and you've been the author of life and health insurance law textbooks. Now, you got involved with writing about smoking.
Yes.
Why? What is the personal story behind this?
Oh, well, the personal story behind it is very similar to yours. My dad smoked heavily, 2 or 3 packs a day from the time he was 14.
Mm-hmm.
First he got emphysema, and he went from his bed to his wheelchair for years. And he said he was smothering, even though he was hooked up to an oxygen tank. Then he had a stroke that paralyzed him. He died of a heart attack. You can imagine what this did to the family.
Mm-hmm.
And his doctor said this was all resulted from his smoking. I'm a good bit older than he was when he died, and I have very good health. I've never smoked.
Mm-hmm.
After seeing what happened to my dad, I was desperately hoping that my 3 daughters wouldn't smoke. So in order to persuade my daughters not to begin smoking, I started collecting articles about the things that smoking does to people, and reading the articles to them. Finally, I realized they were never going to smoke, and I was going to throw the articles away. But then I suddenly thought I should write an article about the impact of smoking. And that article grew into a 368-page book, Smoking, 201 Reasons to Quit.
Your foreword is written by Jack Klugman, an actor that many people listening might recognize him as the primary actor in Quincy. He was in The Odd Couple with Tony Randall. I'm not sure if he's still alive, but I remember the last time I heard him speak, his voice was nothing like it used to be because he ended up getting throat cancer. How did you and Jack come together? Well, how were you able to get him to write a foreword to your book?
Well, this is a funny story, I think. My husband wrote a book about Leonard Warren, his favorite opera singer, and asked Tony Randall to write the foreword, and Tony Randall wrote the foreword, and through Tony Randall we got acquainted with Jack Klugman, and I knew that he was an anti-smoking activist, and so I thought, well, I'll ask. I always believe in asking, and he said, yes, he'd love to do it.
Well, his story, and I think our listeners should know about this, when you're in a position where your voice is your life, as it was with Jack Klugman, when you find out that you have polyps on your vocal cords or you're going through some very unique laryngitis or whatever, and you go in and you find that the doctor's got the announcement that you have cancer of the throat, and it was very invasive. Jack knew that this is what caused the problem, and he had to go in for an immediate operation. And he was concerned because they had to cut his right vocal cord, to what he described as a stump size. And there are two vocal cords that you need to have two vocal cords so that they'll resonate and you can speak. And he said he was fortunate. The surgery was successful. He was able to be cancer-free. And then he met up with someone by the name of Gary Katona, who is a voice builder. Now, this really fascinated me, a voice builder. And he worked with Jack, and Jack was able to get enough of a voice back where he could do acting again and could also be a spokesperson. What is Jack doing now?
Well, he's still a spokesperson for anti-smoking, and as far as I know, that is what he mainly does. He's still alive, lives in Southern California, and I'm hoping to meet him one of these days. I've talked to him quite a few times on the telephone, but I'd love to meet him in person.
Well, I agree. Now, Jack made the statement in the foreword that over 400,000 people a year die from smoking.
Yes, that's correct. It's actually more like 450,000.
Now, where do those statistics come from?
Well, the government and studies of people who have died, and, you know, the studies of illnesses that they had.
Now, you have a statement in your book that the United Nations World Health Organization says that cigarette smoking is probably the largest single preventable cause of ill health worldwide.
Yes, that's true. They do say that.
This is a statement, this is around the world. Here, yes. In the United States, smoking, because of advertising, et cetera, it's always a macho thing. It's supposed to make women more glamorous. I think it just makes them stink. But anyway, that's my bias. I've been around smokers. I've not been a smoker myself. So I've seen the adverse effect. My father, like I said, with lung cancer. I had a very dear friend pass away this year who was a smoker when he was younger, and he literally suffocated to death from emphysema. So, you know, when you have people close to you that you realize because of something, and this very dear friend that passed away this year, this year, we're just now into 2010, we passed away in spring of 2009. He had not been a heavy smoker, and he didn't smoke for that long a period, but it was a long enough period where there was the chemical reaction within his lungs. This is something that we have to take into consideration with secondhand smoke, and this is something you cover also. Now, in your research, when you saved all of these articles and you were putting this all together, especially with your writing and the legal background, I know you have to be very particular and very articulate and put things in order. What were some of the most stunning discoveries that you found in your research regarding cigarette smoking?
Well, just the sheer number of problems that it causes. 201 are not all of them. I had to quit somewhere. The book was getting too big. But I certainly covered the most important ones. But they keep discovering ones. I keep seeing articles that say, that end with, here's one more good reason not to smoke. And smoking affects every cell in the body. And I believe it's probably behind more cancers than they know. They keep finding more. And so I just think people really, really have to quit, because we don't even know how bad it is, and we know it's terrible.
You make the statement in your book about 4,000 chemicals occur in tobacco smoke.
Yes.
Now, that is almost incomprehensible.
It truly is.
Who made that statement, and where did that number come from?
That, again, comes from the government. U.S. government sources.
And you say that the Environmental Protection Agency has classified tobacco as a Class A carcinogen.
Yes.
And tobacco is often contaminated with a variety of molds that can cause infections as well as cancer.
Yes.
Now, when you go back into history a little bit, there were many native cultures that used tobacco. Of course, they weren't smoking, you know, 24 pipes a day.
No.
But it was part of a ceremony. It was a ritual. And it was something that was highly respected. It was not, at least in the cultures that I'm aware of, I'm thinking of the Native American cultures.
Yes.
That was something they were very careful with. And the people that would smoke cigars, for example, the tobacco leaves were rolled, but they did not have, in a certain time with the tobacco growing, there wasn't the pesticides, there were not a lot of the components that apparently we have been dealing with for so many years in, quote-unquote, the modern world, that have contributed to this.
That's true, and another factor is that pipe and cigar smokers often don't inhale, so they don't get the full bad effects that cigarette smokers do. Cigarette smokers almost all inhale, and they smoke a lot more, and it's more convenient to smoke cigarettes than it is to smoke a pipe. So I think those are factors that have made smoking more dangerous.
Now, three of what are considered the most dangerous components of tobacco smoking. One, nicotine, which is known to be a very, very toxic chemical.
Right.
And, in fact, that is one of the primary reasons why people have such a difficulty in getting away from it, because there is an addiction that actually is formed when people are heavy smokers. And I've known people with addictive personalities that maybe they gave up alcohol, but they couldn't give up their cigarettes. It's and often their
hair. It's harder to give up cigarettes than alcohol.
Yeah, it's very, very hard because it's all chemistry.
Yes.
It's all chemistry. So
changes the brain.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. And then nicotine interacts with carbon monoxide, which nobody would even associate that typically with a cigarette. And then there's tar. And tar can be extremely difficult to deal with physiologically, especially if you're a heavy, heavy smoker. And you said that there are chemicals that are in the tar that cause cancer when applied to the skin or breathing apparatus of laboratory animals. So that is almost, to me, horrific to think of an animal having to, you know, be sort of the guinea pig, but at least we're able with that to discern the damage that it really does.
Yes, we are. No, it is too bad, but we know that now, and I'm hoping that that knowledge will help people be motivated to quit.
I agree. Now, there were fascinating details that you have in this book, 201 Reasons to Quit Smoking. It depletes vitamins out of the body.
Yes.
So someone could be physically fit, and if they're a smoker, they might be taking vitamins and thinking they're offsetting the negative side effect, but actually through the process of smoking, that depletes vitamins out of the body.
Yes, it does. No, you're right. And that, of course, makes people more likely to get ill in a number of ways, infections and so forth.
You also bring up something about how the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force recommended that all males between the ages of 65 and 75 who have been former smokers or who are smoking to undergo an ultrasound test for an aortic aneurysm.
Yes.
Why?
Because they are at such high danger of that. They are the ones who are most apt to get that, and that is such a dangerous thing. If an aortic aneurysm ruptures, you have almost no chance of survival because you immediately bleed out very copiously, and it's almost impossible to get somewhere where anybody could do anything to help you. It happens very suddenly. And
now,
that's why they say they can do things to prevent the rupture, and that's why they're saying people in those age groups should be tested to see if they have an aortic aneurysm, because then they could have a stent possibly inserted to strengthen that part. And an aortic aneurysm is a weakness in a blood vessel, the big blood vessel is in the chest and abdomen. And if that ruptures, you can see how that would be just, you know, moments to death.
Something you bring out that I thought was just amazing, I don't quite understand it. You talk about smokeless tobacco.
Oh.
Tell us what that is.
Well, that's chewing tobacco.
Ugh.
A snuff. Those things. That may be somewhat less dangerous than smoking. At least you're not dragging tar into your lungs. But it is not good. People who use smokeless tobacco get a lot of mouth and throat cancers.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not recommend that as a substitute for cigarettes. Not at all. I think people ought to try their best to stop smoking and not go to those other things.
We know how cancer can develop because of smoking, due to the chemistry that enters the body that creates an adverse environment.
Right.
There are also associations that they have found with people that have dementia and schizophrenia. Tell us about that connection.
Yes. Well, again, it probably has to do with, certainly in some cases, with the damage that it does to blood vessels. Blood vessels, of course, are everywhere in your body. They feed oxygen and nutrients to every cell you have. And of course, when smoke goes into your bloodstream, it goes to every cell. And so it's not surprising that they're now finding smoking probably increases the risk, at least, certainly of vascular dementia, which has to do with little strokes, but also with Alzheimer's.
The fact that this is so detrimental to the health is something that I think on certain levels people would accept. They'd say, yes, that, you know, there's enough facts about it.
Right.
But you go into Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yes.
And you go into the ear, eye, and sinus areas, which if people inhale and then exhale through their nose,
mm-hmm.
I have vivid memories of my father doing that. And
mm-hmm.
my dad was smoking Camels. And then he'd smoke that to the point where he started spitting up blood.
Oh, yeah.
And then he'd retreat, and he would find another cigarette that he could use. It really was such a part of his life, and it was something that he used, and I know a lot of other people do this, and they even do it today. When they smoke, they say they don't eat.
Yes.
And
well, it does decrease appetite, no question about that.
And this is something that they're so afraid when they stop that they're going to put on weight.
Yes.
Because those taste buds have been affected. They really have been, although I've known fat smokers.
Oh, yes, I have too.
But
right.
still, there's a lot of women that I know that are smokers and say, well, as long as I'm smoking, then I don't get fat because their hands are busy.
Well, I would say to them, don't let a fear of weight gain stop you from quitting. The average weight gain is 10 pounds when you stop smoking. And you'd have to gain 70 to 80 pounds to equal the harm to your health from smoking. And the number of years after quitting, former smokers weigh about the same as lifelong non-smokers. So in the end result, it isn't going to really do anything to your weight. And besides, it's possible to lose weight. Heaven knows there are a lot of diet books out there, and a lot of people do manage to lose weight. So, and also, there's another thing. Ex-smokers, former smokers, sometimes become much more devoted to health, devoted to exercise and eating right. there's what's a kind of cluster behavior that occurs, and a lot of people, they stop smoking, and now they have more, I guess, more hope that they're going to be well and live a long time.
Let's talk about pregnant women for a moment.
Okay.
And that child that's going to be born.
Okay.
It is a fact,
yes,
that everything a woman takes into her body is going to affect that unborn child.
Yes.
How do cigarettes affect her, her pregnancy, and that baby that's going to be born?
Well, first of all, she may not maintain the pregnancy. Tubal pregnancies, for instance, are more common in smokers, and problems with the placenta are more common, and these can cause the pregnancy to terminate one way or another. Secondly, miscarriage or stillbirth are commoner in smokers by far than they are in non-smokers. Then when the baby is born, if it comes to the point where they're actually going to have a baby, infertility is another thing that is commoner in smokers. They are more likely to have a low birth weight baby. Low birth weight babies are more likely to die. They are more likely to have a premature baby, also more likely to die. The baby may have birth defects caused by smoking. We know that a couple of the common ones, cleft palate and clubfoot, are more common in the babies of smokers. Then, of course, when the baby is born, the poor thing has to withdraw from nicotine. And that's a terrible burden to put on a newborn baby, to make it have to withdraw from nicotine in the first days of its life. So, and then children of women who smoke during pregnancy have more behavior problems. There may be other things too, but those are the ones I included in my book.
Yes, you have quite an extensive area in your book on women who are thinking of getting pregnant, if they're going to have an in vitro fertilization process. All of these things, you do a very thorough job of covering. And if those of you listening, if you're a smoker and you're saying, oh goodness, here you got all these scare tactics, Donna, the truth is, I myself have seen the effects on it. And I'll tell you one fact that very few women like to even hear about. It makes your skin so bad, and it causes wrinkles, ladies, and guys, it does the same thing, but for some reason they think the guys have character when they have wrinkles. But we gals, we can't get away with it. And every time you put a cigarette in your mouth and you make a draw on that cigarette, you're activating muscles around your lips that will create deep lines that not even plastic surgery is going to be able to help. And I've known of cases where women wanted to go in for cosmetic surgery, and the physician said they couldn't do anything to make them really look better because of their cigarette smoking. They had damaged the cells under the skin terribly. So if nothing else, for heaven's sakes, use vanity. If you want to look good, if you're young and you're a smoker and you're a female and you want to look good and you want to have beautiful skin, then by golly, put the cigarettes out. Suck on cucumbers or something else. But whatever you do, give up the cigarettes because they're terrible. They are really, really bad. And believe me, they don't make you look sexy.
No.
With the occupational pollution, now here in the state of Washington, there are, gee whiz, I can't even think of a place right now where they allow smoking inside of a working facility. Very few restaurants have it, and if they do, it's sectioned off in such a way that nobody who is not a smoker is going to be exposed to it. But let's talk about that occupational pollution, because in certain parts of the country, there are no rules or regulations like that. It really can create problems. It can create some major health problems, as well as fire hazards.
Oh, yes. Well, moreover, many many occupations expose workers to other pollutants, and that will really cause problems. Coal miners, for instance, if they smoke, they're far more apt to get black lung disease that is really serious. But a lot of jobs have dusts or gases or fumes or smoke or radiation or chemicals of some sort that the workers are exposed to. And if they also smoke, it's going to multiply the bad effects of both.
You bring out a factor which would make sense to me, and that is, one, we've discussed earlier how when you do smoke, your vitamin retention level is significantly reduced.
Yes.
So you're going to need buckets of vitamins rather than just a few if you want your body to be able to benefit from them. And also, this is an effect that can cause medications. If someone is on a medication and they're a heavy smoker, it actually can create a chemical alteration with the medication, making it perhaps more toxic or even ineffective. Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct. Some medications, nicotine just fights against them, or cigarette smoke just fights against them. For instance, the medication, nitroglycerin that's given for people who have pains in their legs because the circulation is bad. It's called peripheral arterial disease.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking causes the blood vessels to clamp down while the nitroglycerin is trying to open them up. So it just works right against that medication.
Well, I know that we're just about out of time, and you have a fascinating section in your book on clove cigarettes, water
mm-hmm.
pipe smoking, which was an education for me. I had no idea that if someone smokes with a water pipe, that's equivalent to smoking 100 cigarettes.
Yeah.
You know, you've got, and it's called a hookah or a water pipe.
Right.
And you say there's even the hookah bars that people can go to. But the World Health Organization has made a statement that water pipe smoking is not a safe alternative to cigarette smoking. It's more dangerous. Well, if
yes.
you did something like that and you're smoking the equivalent of 100 cigarettes, no wonder.
Right.
The clove cigarettes they have more tar in them than even a standard cigarette. So
yeah.
you have that compound. I mean, this is just, your book is just loaded with information.
Well, thank you. Yes, I'm the purpose of my book, of course, is to motivate smokers to quit. And so far, two people that I know have been motivated to quit smoking, and to me that alone made the effort I spent researching and writing it worthwhile.
Oh, I agree. Muriel, what's your website, or do you have a website?
Oh, yes, I have a website. It's www.reasonstoquitsmoking.com.
Reasons to, and that's T-O.
Yeah, all of these words are capitalized. Reasonstoquitsmoking.com.
ReasonsToQuitSmoking.com.
Right. And
well,
you can learn more about the book there.
Right. And, again, Jack Klugman's introduction to the book is absolutely powerful. So if you know of someone and you are trying to encourage them to quit smoking, you need to get this book, Smoking 201 Reasons to Quit, because it'll give you ammunition to put right under their noses. And I think Jack Klugman's commentary is a powerful one, and I hope he will continue to do what he's doing, and that is really encouraging people to give up, because he is a walking, talking demonstration, living example of what it can do to you. Muriel Crawford, this has been a pleasure having you as a guest. I wish you the very best with your book and passing the message along to others. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break on this drip dry Monday here in the Pacific Northwest, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast, with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sivo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, and Happy New Year to all of you. My goodness, 2010, and the newsletter is out. If you haven't received it, send me an email, and I'll add you to the email list. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Better yet, you can go right to my website, DelphiInternational.com, and you will be able to download the email newsletter if you so desire, because it's all posted there. And of course, it's free. It goes out every month. I've been doing this for years, and I would like to think if you want one, that's all you have to do. Either send me an email, have me add you to the automatic mailing list that goes out every month, or go right to my website. But I have had such a fabulous response to my email newsletter, people saying, wow, this topic is really terrific. And it is about not being fearful. And this is something that so many people, because of the difficult times that we're going through, the challenges that we are facing on so many levels in life, we need to not be afraid. We need to be proactive. So it's a positive commentary, I think, that you would find the good thing to just keep in mind for yourself, but it's available to you for free. Just go to DelphiInternational.com, or you can even type in Donna Sebo, S-E-E-B-O, and the internet will bring up the connections to my website. But you have it there, and I'm delighted. I also got an interesting commentary from someone, which I will share with you. If not this afternoon, I'll share with you tomorrow, from someone that liked it so much. They said, wow, I want to share with you my thoughts, because what you've said is so timely. So I've got some good things to share, and I always appreciate hearing from you, by the way. And also, before I go into giving out the number again, if you want to give me a call, 888-815-9756 is a telephone number to call in. I'll be glad to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. So just give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. But I want to let those of you listening know, I'm in process of putting a book together. It's about stories that people tell me. I already have a file that's filled with different stories, but if you have had an experience, a paranormal experience, if you've had dreams that have come true, if there has been what you would consider an extraordinary synchronistic happening, I'd love to hear from you because I'm putting together a book about people and their experiences. I've been in the work of mind for over 40 years. So there are so many things that I can share, and I will be doing a little bit of that in this book. But I really would like to hear your stories. And the reason is stories, personal experiences, make such a difference. And when you're able to share your experience with someone through the written word, spoken word, however, it empowers some people that maybe are frightened by dealing with their intuitive psychic self. There are a lot of myths out there. There are a lot of misunderstandings. And so when we can tell our stories, tell our experiences, and they have a chance to reach someone, it can make a difference in somebody else's life. So I would love to hear from you. If you have a story about a paranormal experience, send it via email. Send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com, DelphiInternational.com. And I will, you know, give you recognition, however you would like to be presented in the book. Your name and where you're located. I think that this would be just wonderful. So if you'd like to participate and be a part of the group, I'm looking to collect 100 stories, and I've had a number of submissions already, but I would love to have yours. So do give that a consideration. If you want to send something via snail mail, I'd love to have you do that too. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756. Now, this week we've got a wonderful lineup of guests. By the way, you can always go to BBS, and when you hit on the Donna Sebo Show, there's a list where I've given a brief summary about the guest that's going to be coming up. So you have that every month. So you can go in there and check it out. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Mary Claire O'Neill, and it's all about becoming what you want to see in the world. Now think about those words, what you want to see, becoming that you want to see in the world. So Mary has got some wonderful, wonderful thoughts there. And then Frederick Hahn is a man who is really into physical fitness, but he works with kids. How often in a day when you listen to the news or you're watching television, you'll hear a term, obesity with children, or sentence, obesity with children. It's as if we've got a pandemic with this. It's just everywhere. Well, Frederick has some marvelous tips for working with kids so that they don't have to be obese. It's not a requirement. Kids usually are hard-pressed to sit still. So being active, Frederick has some wonderful ideas, and I encourage you to listen in on that. Also, Randy Rogers has on Thursday, we're going to be talking about the key of life. Randy has had some very interesting paranormal experiences that totally changed his life, and he's going to be sharing some of that with us on Thursday. And then Sammy Thompson is a wonderful harpist that I've known for years. She has got an album called From the Heart of Love. She and a world-class guitarist have teamed up to produce this wonderful, wonderful CD. So we have got a great week lined up for you. I hope you'll tell your friends and just pass it along. And remember, if you miss a show, you can always go to the archives. It's really easy. So just check out whatever you want, and just know that we are here for you Monday through Friday, and I am delighted to bring these people into your world with the wonderful gifts that they want to share of insight and wisdom. Patricia Pinkston wrote a very short little poem, and it's with a photograph that is breathtakingly beautiful of icicles with this wonderful sunset. Behind the icicles, and the colors are resonating through the icicles. The photography is just spectacular. This is what Patricia said: icicles, glimmering prisms of light and wonder, winter's crystal chandelier. Ah, isn't that wonderful? You know, up in Fairbanks, Alaska, and they do a little bit of it in Anchorage, and I know in Japan and I'm not sure about Korea. I think they do it in Korea too. But in different places of the world where they have bitter, bitter, bitter cold, they have ice festivals. It is incredible. And China puts on spectacular ones. And we have them in Fairbanks, Alaska. And they are just awesome. What people are able to do with ice, and then they illuminate these ice sculptures, it's breathtakingly gorgeous. And if you're fortunate enough to have someone send you any email photographs, I love email for that. People send the most spectacular photography around via email. If you get any of these, just think about what it takes to make these magnificent sculptures that, because of the bitter cold temperatures, are able to stay in place and be enjoyed by you for a very long period of time. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz at 888-815-9756 if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight. I know we're going to be going on break in a little while, but I'm going to give the 2010 horoscope for the year. And we've already covered Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, and Virgo. And today I want to cover Libra, Scorpio, and Sagittarius. So if any of you belong to those signs, we'll give you a little brief summary. Before we go on break, I wanted to encourage you to visit a facility that I have loved ever since I've had the opportunity to walk into one, and that is your local public library. As I am an avid reader, I just have a passion for books. I always have. Don't ask me why. I just love them. And the library, to me, is just magic. You walk in, and here you have all of this phenomenal material at your fingertips at no cost. And there's just so many things that go on in a library. You can take classes there. You have study rooms there. They have computers available for use. You have got research librarians who are just absolutely awesome in what they know. And you can, just have access to so many things. So I wanted to share some goodies with you so that you could, if you're finding that your finances are a bit tight and you moan and groan, maybe you don't have access to a computer, go to the library. You know, the libraries have access to real nice, subscriber-only professional software like Heritage Quest and InfoTrack, which you can use for free to go through historical records. Are you into family genealogy? Well, use your library. It includes the census and newspapers. The librarians will give you all kinds of information about what you want to do if you wanted to get into that area, and much, much more. If you're wanting to really streamline your job search, you can use the library's computers to prepare and send resumes, but they also offer access to job coaches, career training, and even individual counseling that will help you. Because there are jobs out there. Maybe you need to know how to approach something differently. And there's also some very special programs that libraries offer, and that is seminars. If you want to know about taxes, if you want to know about money management, I mean, there is just so much that is available to you. You've got it. And if you want a place to meet, it's public. You've got rooms you can get. It won't cost you a penny. We're going to take a break. This is Donna Sebo. I know we've got a caller on the line waiting. Caller, I'll be getting to you in just a moment. If you want to call in, hey, let me light up your life for 2010. 888-815-9756 is the number. We're going to come right back and more to share with you. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 888-815-9756. We have a caller on the line, so we'll show you how it's done. Hello, caller. Where are you calling from, first name or initial?
T, and I'm calling from Tacoma, Washington.
Thank you, T. All right. The first thing that I am looking at is there is an educational program that you are going to have a chance to take that is going to really be fascinating to you, and you are going to thoroughly enjoy it. I'm not sure where it is going to be taught, but it looks to me like it's even going to be free. So it could be because you have gotten or will be getting something special in the way of a technological tool. Could be something like a cell phone, who knows. But whatever it is, you're going to want to learn how to use it effectively and well, and you're really going to enjoy the classes. And also, what's coming up, I think, within the next 2 months is a very special trip that you are going to find that you'll be able to take with a group of people, and you're going to really enjoy yourself. And it will be like, oh, for a day. I'm not seeing an overnight stay, but I am looking at you really enjoying this. What's on your mind, Tim? What did you want to ask me today?
I have a question for you. I don't know if you can help me. I know a friend of mine's daughter. She was ran over by a car in Indiana. I'm wondering if you can tell me if you can sense anything. Her first name is Amanda. Is there anything you can sense? Because the police are looking for the car, and they need the license plate number. I wanted to find out if you can tell me anything about that.
Well, I don't know that I'm going to be able to give you the license plate number. I will say that the car is what I would describe a medium tone in color. It is sort of low. It is not real low. You know how some people will take the vehicles and they hype them up with special engines, and then they lower the vehicle quite a bit to the ground. Mm-hmm. It's just like a few inches. Well, it's not that low, but it is lowered. And it looks to me like it's an older model car. It doesn't look to me like it is one of the, I'd say, brand new models, like in the last 3 to 4 years. So it's a car that's got some miles on it. And I think when this hit and run occurred, the person was very preoccupied with something else. And when they realized what had happened, they totally panicked. Now, I will say this. There is some evidence, or should have been some evidence, at the site of impact of part of the paint on this vehicle. I think this vehicle had been repainted at some time. So there was something that came off of that vehicle in the way of a color. So I think that there is something that was at the site that would have given a hint of the color of the vehicle. And it is a local person that hit Amanda. It's not someone that was from out of town. This is someone that is in a fairly close vicinity to where the incident happened. I'm looking at about, I'd say, about a 10-mile radius. So the police are going to have a challenge with this because I'm not seeing many witnesses to this event. I don't see a lot of eyes observing this happening. And there's something with the license plate where the license plate is a bit askew. It's not perfectly level like most license plates are. So this is about all that I do think this person has a record of some tickets. I'm not sure for what, but they have been noted and written tickets for speeding before and for what I'd call careless driving. I am not seeing the face of anyone. I honestly can't say if it's a male or a female right now when I'm focusing on the individual, but what I am looking at is that this is not an elderly person. This is not someone that I feel is a teenager. The age bracket that I would look at would be from about 28 to 42, somewhere in there.
Okay.
And I'm inclined to think it is a male, but I'm not absolutely positive.
Okay.
So I think it's
all right, then. Thank you.
You are very welcome. I don't know how much that helps, but I thank you for your call. This is Donna Sebo. If you want to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. Okay, you Librians out there. Here is your 2010 horoscope. This winter, you're going to be under the sign of Saturn. That means discipline. Oh, yes, you are going to get things done. You're going to find that you're going to want to really make sure that clutter is gotten rid of. You want things in order. You're going to work towards getting yourself into good physical shape if you've been concerned about that. But more than anything else, procrastination, you're going to give a good swift kick in the tush, and you're going to say, I am on a roll, and I'm staying there. And that's going to go all the way through spring because you are really going to have a chance to start putting together some plans for travel, and it's like, I really want to get things done, and I just don't want to sit around and wait for things to happen to me. I'm going to go out and make things happen. Well, by the time summer comes around, you've got a lot of wonderful interaction with other people that's going to be evolving, and also, you are going to be fascinated with cooking. There is going to be an interest in really doing some odd things and different things, exotic things with food, and you're going to find yourself enjoying sharing it with other people. And then by the time fall comes around, you are going to feel as if this has really been your year. Things are going to flow so well, and you are going to find that if you want to start focusing on a new career direction, the fall of 2010 is the time to really put your mental shoulders to the working wheel. Now, for those of you born under the sign of Scorpio, well, you're going to find this winter, you're not going to want to be sitting at home a heck of a lot. You're going to want to be out and about, but you want to make sure that you take care of family matters, and I want you to take care of your health as well. By spring, you're going to say to yourself, I am ready. Yes, 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 yes. You are not going to want to stay in a rut. You're really going to have to work and plan with the action steps that you want to take so that you don't overextend yourself and you, again, keep yourself in that positioning where you're always going to look at feeling your best. And then by the time summer comes along, it's as if summertime gives you that opportunity to sort of sit back, relax, and to think through what you really want. What is it you want in your personal life, spiritual life, emotional life? What is it that you really, really want? And if you've got family issues, this is the time to give attention to those with the clarity that summer will bring you. And in the fall, you are really going to want to spread your wings and move forward. You're saying, I need to invest in myself. I am going to do this because I'll be able to do more for life in general if I do. Oh, my goodness, we are out of time. How did the time go by so quickly? This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And for you Sagittarians, I'll get to you tomorrow. We have a wonderful guest right here, same time, same place, as always. And I just think that you need to know how special you are. You've got a fabulous year ahead of you. Don't let anybody doomsday your day away. No way. Pick up your attitudes. Recognize that those things you are in charge of, not anybody else. And make this the best day of your life, because it's the one you're living right now. This is Donna. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.